Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Revi'i, Wednesday, the 13th day of Elul, 5786, corresponding this year to the 26th of August. And now we'll share again. And we will say, Kuf, led by Mark.
Mizmor l'Shoda, Ariu l'Adonai kol ha'aretz, Udu es Adonai b'simcha, Bo'u l'fanav birnana, De'u ki Adonai hu Elohim, hu asano v'lo anachnu amo v'tzon b'ariso, Bo'u sh'ara b'Shoda, chasher osa b'tzila, hodu lo baruch hu t'mo, ki tov Adonai, le'alam chasdo, ve'ad dov ador emunaso.
A word about this Mizmor l'Toda. Mizmor l'Toda is the Tehillim that corresponds to the Korban Toda, which is the reason that even though Mizmor LaToda is in the weekday Pesukei Dezimra, it's not said on Shabbat or Chagim, because you can't bring a Korban Toda on Shabbat or Chagim. So you might ask, so what? I'm not bringing a Korban Toda. I'm saying Mizmor LaToda. It's a Kapitel Tehillim. Why shouldn't I be able to do it? But I think Chazal wanted us to be conscious of the connection to Korbanot, even without a Beit HaMikdash all of these years. And one of the ways they do that is by linking something in the davening to the Korbanot. That's why the Gemara asks the question, if you forget to daven Mincha, can you make it up at Ma'ariv? Because there is a rule with korbanot of our yomo batel korbano. Once the day passes, which is sunset, stars out, the korban can't be brought. So the Gemara has to defend our saying a second Amidah at Ma'ariv by saying that tefillah is not just in lieu of korbanot, but it's more. It's an invoking of rachamim, and that does not have the time limit of our yomo batel korbano. Back to korban toda, not said on Shabbos, not said on Yom Tov, not said during Chol Hamoed Pesach or Erev Pesach, because the korban toda contained chametz, and you can't bring it throughout Pesach from Erev Yom Tov all the way through. Chol Hamoed Sukkot, it is said, because the Korban Toda can be brought on Sukkot. It's also not said on Erev Yom Kippur, because the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash would not have the opportunity to eat from the Minachot, the accompanying matzot and wafers and loaves, because they would have to stop eating earlier, and it would end up being destroyed because it's Kodesh and can't be left over. And therefore, Chazal said, don't say the Toda on Erev Yom Kippur. And the same question. I'm saying a chapter of Tehillim. I'm not eating chametz. I'm not worrying about Kohanim not being able to eat it up. But the connection, I think, is a good reminder that there were korbanot, and our davening does double duty. Remember, davening has always been around before the Beit HaMikdash, during the Beit HaMikdash, after the Beit HaMikdash. Nobody ever was supposed to say, with his arms, hands folded behind his head, I don't need to daven because we have a Beit HaMikdash and they're bringing korbanot. Davening was always davening. Since the Churban Beit HaMikdash, davening took on an extra tafkid, and the zmanim of davening are tied to the schedule in the Beit HaMikdash and a whole bunch of other things also.
Neshama farim sfasenu.
Thank you. V'nu neshama farim sfatenu, and that's a temporary measure. Davening will always be there. It just, as I said, doesn't do double duty when we have a Beit HaMikdash. Tehillim Kaf. Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid Yancha Adonai Beyom Tzara Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov Yishlach Ezracha Mikodesh UMiTzion Yisodeka Yizkor Kol Minchotecha V'Olatecha Yedashna Sela Yiten Lecha Chilavavecha V'Chol Atzatcha Yimalei Niranina Bishuatecha V'Shem Eloheinu Nidgol Yimalei Adonai Kol Mishalotecha Ata yadati ki hoshia Adonai mishicho, yanehu mishmei kodsho, bigvurot yeisha yemino, elev arechev v'elev asusim, v'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir, hema koru v'nafalu, v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodad, Adonai hoshia hamelech yaneinu v'yom koreinu. And now our chief chazan, David. Kuflamit.
Shir Hamalas Mimamakim, Prasicha Adonai, Adonai, Shema Bikoli, Tianos Nechakashuvos, the Kol Tachnunai, Imavonos, Tishmarya Adonai, Miyama Od, Kim Choslicha, Leman Tivare, Kivisi Adonai, Kivsanavshi, Vilidvaro, Hocholti, Navshi Ladonai, Mishamim Labuker, Shamarim Labuker. Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, Kim Adonai HaFesed, Varbe Imo Fidus, Ahu Yifdes Yisrael, Mikol Avonasav.
Mark.
Misha Berach Avosinu Abraham Yisrael Yaakov, Vuyivarech HaShayalei Tzavah HaGanali Yisrael, Vesanshe Kochos HaBitachon HaOmedim, Omishmar Artinu, Ve'arei Eloheinu, Ve'alof Amin Ba'adenu, Min Halbanon, Ve'adibar Mitzrayim, Min Hayam HaGadol, Adlovo HaRaba, Upo Makom Shehem, Ve'yavasha, Ba'avir, Ve'yam. Yitain Adonai Ezayavino Akamima Leinu Nigafim Lipnehem, Hakadosh Baruchu Yishmor, Viachilas Hayalenu, Mikol Sarabizuka, Mikol Nega Mahala, Pishlach Barachava Hazasalba Homa Aseyadehem, Yadber, Son Enus Hakehem, Viaterem Behesha Yishua, Lateratitapon, Vikuyambahem Hakatu, He Adonai Elohechem, Haolech, Imachem, Lilachem, Lachem, Imoyevechem, Lochiashem, Vinomar, Amen.
Amen. Together, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, Hanatunim Batsarao Vashivya, Ha'omedim bein bayam, bein bayabasha, bein ba'avir, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, yotzeim mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela la'ora, u'mishibud la'geula, hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv, v'nomar amen. You know, the business with the microphone before, I learned an interesting lesson. I checked the wiring. I traced it all the way through this maze of wires I have near my computer. Made sure it was plugged in. Always check if it's turned on. That goes first. So that was a lesson. Okay. Now, my background. Second time in a row, second week in a row that I've had ChatGPT do my picture for me. The frame all the way around are the various of Shivat HaMinim, the seven species. Chita, Seora, Geffen, Teina, Rimon, Eretz, Shemen, and Devash, dates. And what I wanted was a guy bringing Bikurim. If you could see, he's got a basket of Bikurim on his right shoulder. And I dafka didn't want him to look like an ancient Hebrew who was bringing Bikurim. So I asked specifically that he have black pants, a white shirt, a kippah on his head. He's barefoot, which you can't picture, it's a little too high. And he's being welcomed by the Kohen on duty. And I had to tweak the picture many times, including getting the column of smoke to rise straight up, because the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot tells us that one of the miracles that occurred in the first Beit HaMikdash was that even when it was windy, the column of smoke from the Mizbeach never wavered. It always went straight up. And I had to make the Mizbeach copper color, and the Beit HaMikdash in the back is gold. And finally, I was satisfied with the picture. Now, Bikurim is the first topic in Parshat Ki Tavoh, but let me put it in perspective. Way back in Parshat Mishpatim, middle of the book of Shemot. And then again in Kitisa, also in Shemot, we have two identical psukim. Reshit, Re Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, the first fruits of your yield, Admatcha, of your land, you shall bring to the house of God, which is the Beit HaMikdash. And the Pasuk strangely continues with Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalei V'Imo, which doesn't seem to have any connection to Bikurim, and I'm not going to explain it now why it's there. But the Pasuk that says the first time in Mishpatim, Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, is a mitzvat aseh in the Torah to bring Bikurim. Bikurim are first fruits. The Mishnah in Bikurim describes a farmer going into his field or into his orchard or his vineyard. Let's use vineyard as an example. And he sees grapes beginning to ripen. They're not ready to be picked. They're not ready to be eaten. They're not even edible yet, but they're starting to grow. He chooses a cluster of grapes and he marks the stem with a ribbon and he says, "These will be my bikurim." He does the same with his fig tree, he does the same with his pomegranate tree and his wheat and barley fields, if he's got them. You don't bring from all of them, you bring whatever you have. If the only thing that a person grows are date palms, then he only brings dates. And but he designates them at the ripening time, at the beginning of the ripening time. He is not bound to that if when it comes time to harvest, he finds a bunch of grapes that's more attractive and firmer, whatever, than the one that he originally designated. He switches and he takes this new bunch as his bikurim. And he puts them in a basket, and the Mishnah describes and the Halacha describes wealthy people had baskets of gold and silver, and poor people made it out of straw. And there was all kind of ceremony, which I don't want to get into now, but the fact of the matter is the mitzvah of Bikurim is back in Parshat Mishpatim. Here in Ki Tavo is the second mitzvah of Bikurim, and that is when you bring Bikurim, there is a passage in the Torah to recite. It is a very familiar passage to us because the Ba'alei Haggadah for Pesach borrowed the recitation of the Bikurim bringer for the Seder because it capsulizes the story of Am Yisrael. Arami Oved Aviv Vayered Mitzrayma Vayogar Sham Bimtei Ma'at Vayihu Sham Lagoy Gadol Atzum Varov. Our ancestor Yaakov was persecuted by Lavan, and Yaakov ended up in Mitzrayim with a small number of people, 70 souls, went down to Mitzrayim, and he grew there into a large nation. Then the next pasuk, which he recites, talks about the Egyptians who enslaved us and oppressed us. The third pasuk talks about how we called out and cried out to God, and then God heard our cries and took us out of Mitzrayim with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Those are the four psukim that make up the core of Magid on the Seder, because they tell the story from the Avot until about to come out of Egypt, or just came out of Egypt. Now, what I have always found interesting is that the Mishnah in Psachim, which describes Leil HaSeder, says at a certain point in the Seder, specifically when they pour the second cup, and we've been doing curious things at the table, it says with the second cup, following karpas and following washing without a bracha and dipping karpas into salt water and reclining for the first cup of wine. All of these things were supposed to stimulate a child to ask. And the Mishnah says, at that point of the second cup being filled, the kid Ke'ilu says, all right, I had enough of these weird things. Why are we doing them? That is the Chan HaBein Sho'el et Aviv. Here's where the child asks his parent. And I purposely say child and I purposely say parent because the mitzvah applies to men and to women, to boys and to girls. The Mishnah then instructs the father to say, Avadim Hay. Oh, first it says, and if the child doesn't have the intelligence or whatever it takes to ask on his own, his father teaches him. And what does he teach him? Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot. So the Mishnah contains the full text of Ma nishtana. Instead of instead of reclining, it does not ask about that because that's how they ate in those days. It asks about roasted meat only. On all other nights, we have meat that's cooked or pickled or roasted and oven baked and this and that. Halayla hazeh kulo tzli, this night is only roasting. And that was one of the original four questions that the child asks. But my point continues. The father answers right away with Avadim hayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim, as we do in the Haggadah. And then he presents and analyzes the parsha of the Bikurim bringer, Arami Oved Avi. Now, I mentioned four psukim, which each one is analyzed and darshaned in the Haggadah, and the suggestion is any Seder participants could do the same, explain it, say, I heard an interesting vart about this. And usually, kids in yeshiva will have their little notebooks that they've been collecting things to say at the Seder. I remember my father fondly, who used to say, all right, enough, save it for the tomorrow night. And here in Israel, you can't do that. So we have to get it all in on one Seder. But the Mishnah then says, Vidoresh me'arami oved avi ad sheyigmor kol haparsha kula, until he finishes the entire portion. So the four psukim that I mentioned are not the entire portion. There's one more pasuk where the Bikurim bringer says, after saying, we went down to Egypt, we were oppressed, we called out to God, he took us out, vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and he brought us to this land, because the Bikurim can only be brought at the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. So vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, vayiten lanu et aretz hazot, he gave us this land as our land. And then he says, and these are the Bikurim, my first fruits from the land. The question then is, when the Bali Haggadah borrowed it, why did they only go four out of five psukim instead of the fifth? The answer is that Pesach is the beginning of the story. It's a big beginning, but it's not the full picture. The story of the Seder leaves us with a cliffhanger. Okay, we came out of Mitzrayim. That's what we're celebrating on Leil HaSeder. But what happened after that? Now, we have little things in the Haggadah that tell us. Ilu hotzianu mimitzrayim, dot, v'chulei, ilu kara lanu et hayam, even if he only split the sea. Already, that's out of Egypt. And he didn't drown the Egyptians. And even if he did, and he didn't give us the man, and he didn't give us Shabbat, and then brought us to Har Sinai and gave it. So the Haggadah has built in a few places, not as an emphasis, but as a clue towards the Hemshech, the continuation of the story that starts with these four psukim. And the four cups of wine correspond to these four psukim, as well as the four terms of redemption, and the fifth term and the fifth pasuk, Vayivienu Veheveti and Vayivienu El HaMakom HaZeh, have not been totally realized yet. Some of us are in Israel now, But we came, we got exiled, we came back, we got exiled, we came back, and some of us have not yet come back, and we don't have the Geula Shlema. So Vayevienu El HaMakom HaZeh, Vayiten Lanu, is still the unspoken conclusion of the Seder. So what do we do at the Seder? We fill a fifth cup of wine, but we don't drink it. That's the Kos Shel Eliyahu. There's your tip-off, because Eliyahu is the, ready for this word, harbinger of the Geula. He will announce the coming of Mashiach, and that's not yet. All the other things are yet, already. We came down to Mitzrayim, we grew to a nation, we were oppressed, and we came out of Mitzrayim. That's all been there, did it. But the Vayevienu El HaMakom HaZeh is still yet to be fulfilled, and therefore most, or almost everybody, we don't drink that fifth cup. There are some that do, who feel that they live in Israel, and Vayevienu El HaMakom HaZeh already has taken place, and they actually make a bracha and eat and drink the fifth cup. And we have it in the bracha right at the end of Magid, before Moti Matzah Rochtza, Moti Matzah Mor Korech. We have there a bracha of Geula, which speaks about Pesach, but speaks about the future redemption. So it all fits. Now, Shavuot is called Yom HaBikurim. Whether it actually refers to this mitzvah of first fruits is questioned. But what is associated with Shavuot, based on the Mishnah, is the beginning of the Bikurim season. You cannot bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash before Shavuot. You can't bring them on Yom Tov either. From the day after Shavuot till Sukkot, and then further till Chanukah, you can bring Bikurim. And therefore, Shavuot is associated with Bikurim. And Shavuot is not a holiday by itself only. It is, but it's not only by itself. It's also the culmination of Pesach. And as such, it's not a surprise that Chazal borrowed the psukim for the Haggadah, did not complete it, and the key word in the Mishnah, as far as I'm concerned, is Vidoresh Me'arami Oved Avi Ad Sheyigmor, not Ad Shegomer, but Ad Sheyigmor, until he will eventually finish the whole portion, which includes coming to Eretz Yisrael and the Geula Shlema. So that's the recitation of Bikurim. Now, this is not unique, but very unusual, that a mitzvah must be accompanied by verbalizing. You can eat in a sukkah and fulfill the mitzvah of eating in a sukkah even without discussing it. The fact is that Chazal, over the years, have attached Hinei Muchon, Zumezumons, Ribono Shel Olam, all kind of passages to lead into Kiddush at the Sukkah, in order to focus us on the fact that we're about to do a mitzvah. But it's not a requirement of the Torah to speak about Sukkah or Lulav and Esrog or counting of the Omer. Anything that Chazal added, that's added. The only one, or one of the only mitzvot, that has a recitation attached to it is Bikurim. The Bikurim bringer says, in the Beit HaMikdash courtyard, having placed his basket of Bikurim on the ground next to the Mizbeach, which is then taken by the Kohen to use with his family, and the guy, the Bikurim bringer, male or female, by the way, announces to the Kohen, "I am thrilled and delighted to be living here in Eretz Yisrael. And I am truly joyous." And the psukim say you have to be joyous with Bikurim and with Chag, and share your joy with the less fortunate in society, the orphans, the widows, and provide tzedakah for them and help for them and meals for them, which is part of our simcha. So the Ari Zal says Bikurim is the tikkun, repair, of Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, because the spies verbalized, they didn't just tour Israel, they brought back fruit, and they degraded Eretz Yisrael. Not a place you want to live, beautiful place, but it's too hard to live. The people are too strong, the cities are fortified, and they eat up its inhabitants and terrible things. As a repair, a tikkun for Chet HaMeraglim, the Arizal points to the mitzvah of Bikurim, because we bring fruit to the Beit HaMikdash, and we don't discourage anyone from coming, and we don't speak down about the privilege of being here. We say, these are the fruits that I grew, and I am thrilled and delighted to be in Eretz Israel. So among all of the mitzvot, hatluyot ba'aretz, that have to do with the land of Israel, it is Bikurim that has fruit, like the Meraglim, and verbalizing, like the Meraglim. Rav Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yikom Domo, was a Rav in the Warsaw Ghetto and was very active in the uprising. He was one of the Rabbanim who gave his halachic haskama to the uprising, even though they all knew that it was futile. And he perished in the ghetto. And after the war, his various commentaries on Mishnah were found buried in the Warsaw Ghetto area in containers, jars, whatever, and they were preserved. And one of the things he wrote there was taking off from the Ari, who said that it is a tikkun of Chet HaMeraglim. He says, take a look at what fruit the Meraglim brought back. Everybody knows, because of the Ministry of Tourism and Carmel Wine and all the other places that use the two spies carrying a cluster of grapes. But if you look in the Chumash, they brought back a cluster of grapes, figs, not figs, pomegranates, and figs. Yes. Te'inim, te'inim, v'rimonim. Umin ha-te'inim, umin ha-rimonim. Three fruits they brought back to show the people. Mishnah in Bikurim, when it says, how does a person bring Bikurim? It says a person goes down to his field and let's say he grows grapes or figs or pomegranates, three of the seven species, as an example of how you bring Bikurim. You bring them of the others also. But the Mishnah uses those three, and those are exactly the three that the Meraglim brought back with them, which sort of solidified the idea, the concept, that Bikurim is a tikkun for Chet HaMeraglim. May we be zocheh to do it. Now, I don't know how many of you grow your own crops, but we actually have a grapevine and a pomegranate tree among the seven. And the grapes are still too young to be allowed to benefit from it. We're in the third year now of the grapes. And what we have to do is break off the ones that start to grow and get rid of them because they're not allowed to be eaten. Next year, in Mir Tzashem, we can take them. They have Kedusha in the fourth year. Netta Ravoy, it's called, and they get redeemed, and then we could eat them. And then the following year, they're free and clear, except, of course, for Trumot and Masrot, which have to be taken every year. Okay. Comments and questions about Bikurim? Let me back up a step now. At the beginning of the book of Devarim, and a couple of times since then, I've described, based on the Vilna Gaon, the subdivision of the book of Devarim. He divides it into three parts: Devarim, Vaetchanan, and Akev, first section; Re'eh, Shofetim, Ki Teitzeh, second section; and then Ki Tavo, Nitzavim, Vayelech, Hazinu, V'Zot HaBracha, a third section. The first section does not concentrate on mitzvot. It concentrates on the basics of the history of the Jewish people with Ma'amad Har Sinai and the Meraglim and Chet HaEgel, as mentioned, and all the formative events that occurred, plus the foundations of Judaism, the Aseret HaDibrot are repeated there, the Shema Yisrael and V'Hoyah Im Shamoah, and the mitzvah of making brachot, Birkat HaMazon specifically, and then Chazal mushrooming it into all brachot. That's in Devarim, Vaetchanan, and Akev. In Re'eh, 55 mitzvot, Shofetim, only 41. Ki Teitzeh, 74 mitzvot. And obviously, the concentration of mitzvot is to say this middle section of Moshe's farewell address concentrated on mitzvot, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. And then from Ki Tavo on, things change. You have very few mitzvot, but you have the concepts that make mitzvot meaningful, like the concept of reward and punishment, the concept of accountability, of free will, of a world to come. All kind of concepts that put all of Torah and mitzvot into a certain context that we should see it in. Now that's the way that I break it up based on the Vilna Gaon, but he did it a little differently. I just wanted to make it simpler and more neater. And what he does is take Re'eh, Shofetim, Ki Teitzeh, and the first part of Ki Tavo, and adds that to the mitzvot. Ki Tavo has 122 psukim, 122 psukim, almost, not almost, the first 19 psukim out of 122 contain the six mitzvot in Ki Tavo. And that's really the end of the body of mitzvot. Once we're finished with that, I'm talking about Numbers 600. No, five. Something's wrong here. That must be page. Oh, there it is. 606, 607, 608, 609, 610, 611. Those are the mitzvot out of Taryag at the beginning of Ki Tavo. And then you only have two left in Parshat Vayelech: Hakel, gathering of the people to hear the king read from the Sefer Devarim, and once in 7 years, and the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So essentially, the chunk of mitzvot, 176 of them, in Re'eh, Shofetim, Ki Teitzeh, and the first 19 psukim of Ki Tavo. When I realized that the number was 176, I got excited because 176 is a known number as a superlative, as representing a lot. The longest sedra in the Torah, Parshat Naso, 176 psukim. Longest chapter in Tehillim, in all of Tanakh, is Tehillim 119, 176 psukim. The longest volume of Gemara, Masechet of Gemara, is Bava Batra, with 176 double-sided pages, 176 blot. So 176, which is, by the way, 22 times 8, and that's significant because 22 is the full Hebrew alphabet, which means you're talking about a full load, and 8 is a special number because it's one more than the natural number of 7. So with 176 mitzvot in this portion of Devarim, it says something also, because translate 176 not just as a number, but a really lot. That's what it means. Now, I have to go back to a concept also. The mitzvot in Devarim, some of them have already been presented before, like Bikurim, and some were introduced to for the first time in the book of Devarim. And it doesn't make a difference which is which. The fact of the matter is, Moshe didn't make these mitzvot up on his own. He learned them all from God at Sinai, and he was presenting them in the Torah, in Devarim, for whatever reasons. And to the people, as I've mentioned in the past, we're not exactly sure how they were presented to the people. If we have the mitzvah here of a recitation of Bikurim, if the bringing of Bikurim was back in Parshat Mishpatim, what does that say? Did Moshe say to the people when they were fresh out of Egypt that when you eventually get to the land of Israel, there will be a mitzvah of Bikurim? I don't know. Maybe he waited till the generation that was poised at the threshold of Eretz Yisrael to tell them about Bikurim. So it's not easy to know that, because throughout the Torah we've had, let's say, Shemitah back in Parshat Bahar, and Shemitah is not something that applies to the Jews in the Midbar, and we've had many other mitzvot HaTluyot Ba'aretz already, but you get a sense that now it's as if Moshe said he could, he this could be, I'm not saying it was, he could have said, if you remember a long time ago at the beginning of the 40 years, I taught you about the Bikurim that will be the first fruits when you get into Eretz Yisrael. And remember, when he said it the first time, it might not have been known that there would be a 40-year period of wandering. It might have been a short journey into Eretz Yisrael. So he told him about Bikurim before. Now, when they're poised after 40 years on the border of Eretz Yisrael, Moshe says, I want you to know that when you will be zochet to bring Bikurim, and I kept saying Beit HaMikdash, but it applied to the Mishkan also, and to the Mishkan in Shiloh, that you will not just be bringing Bikurim, but you will be reciting a passage also. And that's presented here in Parshat Ki Tavo. To look at a couple, at some of the other mitzvot, maybe all of them, there are only six. The next one, and that's why I said before, it's not unique that we have to speak about mitzvot, because this next one also involves speaking, but it's a different type. The mitzvah is called Vidui Ma'aser. Now let's just take one part of that. A person produces some edible produce, could be the seven species, could be other species as well. And one of the things he has to take from it is called Ma'aser Sheni, which is in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of a 7-year Shemitah cycle. And he does not give it to anyone. The Truma he gives to a Kohen, the Ma'aser he gives, Ma'aser Rishon he gives to a Levi. Maaser Oni he gives to a poor person in the third and sixth year. Maaser Sheni belongs to him, but he has to separate it and designate it as Maaser Sheni to be brought to Yerushalayim and consumed there. The Torah already says if that's too much, because you have too much produce and you can't schlep it all to Yerushalayim and you're not going to be able to eat it all in Yerushalayim, you redeem it. You go to fair market value, you add a certain tax, but if you're doing it for someone else, there is no additional tax. So your 1,000 shekel worth of Maaser Sheni has now been redeemed for 1,000 shekel cash. Next time you're in Yerushalayim, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the Tahara, you take your 1,000 shekel with you. You have your family with you. You can invite your friends also, and you take them out to dinner. You go to a nice restaurant and you pay the bill with the redeemed money from Maaser Sheni. It cannot be used to buy books or toys or a new cell phone. It has to be used for food and drink enjoyed in Yerushalayim. And at a certain time of the Shemitah cycle, in the Pesach time of the 3rd year and the 6th year, a person recites Vidui Maaser. He says, among other things, to God, doesn't have to say it to anybody else, he says to God, I have been very careful with Maaser Sheni. I have not eaten from it when I was Tameh. I have not spent the money that I redeemed it for on anything other than food. I did not buy shrouds or a coffin to bury the dead with it, which is something you're not allowed to do. And I have done all that you have commanded me. The portion of Maser, of Vidui Maser concludes in a very sort of a little bit of a chutzpahdik way. We say to God, we have done all the mitzvot properly, all that you have commanded. How about looking down on us and blessing us as your side of the covenant? We made a deal. The deal was we keep the Torah and mitzvot, we follow you, and you rain brachot on us, rain both literally as well as figuratively. And that's what opening word is Hashkifa, which is traditionally leaned in a louder and exaggerated voice. Mark, you want to show us?
I don't know that I've ever done it, but I know my son does it. Hold on.
Okay, v'heishiv lev avos al bonim v'lev bonim al avosam.
Yeah, hold on.
Could read the whole pasuk. Five.
Hold on. Featuring. Something short.
You are looking in Parsha Ki Tavo, I hope.
Yes, it took me a while to get there, but
In the middle of Sheni, because even though we leaned it on Shabbos and Monday and tomorrow, we go past Sheni, which is
okay.
unusual but not unique. Hashkifa.
Yeah, so talking. Hakifa mima on kachita min hashamayim. Uar es amasa es Yisrael. Ve'ez ha'adana asher nasata lanu. Ka'asher nishbata lavosenu. Ered zavas halav
Okay, so that's the deal. We make the proclamation of Vidui Maaser that we have fulfilled not just that, but all the mitzvot that God commands us. And by the way, a person who is not totally Shomer Torah and mitzvot does not do Vidui Maaser because it would be a blatant lie. It has to be, I have done all that God has commanded. But one who can say that invokes a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu back by saying, bless the land of Israel and us. Now, I should also point out, no offense to those people who are not living here yet, that all of the brachot promised in the Torah for being Shomer Torah and mitzvot, following God with the right attitude, with the right feeling of yira and ahava, the rewards that are spoken about are only promises for Jews in Eretz Yisrael. It does not say, if im bechukotai telechu, if you follow the mitzvot, vet mitzvosai tishmerun lasot, and you keep all of my mitzvot, then I will give blessed rain in Topeka, Kansas. It does not say that. It's al ha'adama asher nishbati latet lavotechem, and so on, that I gave to you. So that's something to think about also. Now, that was two mitzvot, the mitzvah of recitation of the Bikurim passage and the mitzvah of vidui ma'aser. Then you have three prohibitions, lo ta'aseh, related to ma'aser sheni, which I already mentioned, and that is not to eat it when you're an onan, which is an ovel, but before the burial of the deceased, not to eat it when you're tameh, and not to spend the money of redemption on anything other than food. So that's five of the mitzvot in Ki Tavo, in the beginning. And the sixth one is the mitzvah to follow in God's ways, which means emulate him and emulate righteous people who are following in God's ways. So, for example, Mahu Rachum, Afata Rachum. Just like he is merciful, you have to be merciful also. Love the Sforim and the little pamphlets of Rav Yoel Schwartz, Zichrono Levracha, didn't die too long ago. One of them was about Tsar Bale Chaim, and the sefer, little sefer, was called Virachamav al Kol Ma'asav, that God's mercy is on all of his creatures. And there's a picture on the cover of one of the Gedolim, I don't remember which one it was, crouching down and feeding a little kitten. It's a very warm feeling you get from that picture, but it fits Mahu Rachum af Anu Rachumim, to emulate God. Now, after that, you get the Tochacha, and I have 5 minutes that I want to present it in a certain way. Ideally, God should tell us what he wants us to do, and we should do it. He says, don't do malacha on Shabbat, rest on Shabbat. We should say, we're your people, you want us to do that, we will, and we do. I don't know the statistics as to what percentage of Jews in our time are Shomer Shabbos, but it's a minority. But ideally, underline that word, make it bold. Ideally, if God says to do something, we should do it. But not too practical. So what God does is tell us reward for doing his mitzvot. And I would think, what do you need more than that? You know, you tell a kid, let's say your own child or grandchild, you tell them to do something. If there is total love between you and the grandchild, without any questions, you ask him to do something, he'll do it. But if you say, if you do it, there's a piece of chocolate involved. I use that as an example because I babysat, not babysat, I child-minded. By the way, that's the only expression I got from British people, childminder, which is so much nicer than babysitting, especially when my 10-year-old was here. You know, childminding, I don't think she would care about, but babysitting. So I had three granddaughters here this morning, and the little one is just being toilet trained, and she gets adashim, the chocolate covered like M&M's kind of thing, after each time she uses the bathroom properly. And my daughter, who dropped them off this morning, forgot to give me a bag of adashim. So of course, as soon as she went to the bathroom, she came over and said, "Can I have chocolate?" So I found a bar of chocolate, and then she ended up going to the bathroom three times during the time she was here. And each time she got chocolate, and her sister said, "Well, I helped her in the bathroom, so she got chocolate." And since I was giving it out, I decided to take a couple of pieces myself. Anyway, so that's what you should need. You should, if you need more than God said, do this, then a promise of a reward should certainly be enough, but it isn't. So the next step is to say, as we do every day in Shema, V'hoya im shamoa tishmuel mitzvotai, if it'll come to pass that you will do the mitzvot, asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom, to love God, to do this, and then I will give beneficial rain. But if you do not listen to God and you turn away from Him, then the heavens will be locked and you will not get beneficial rain and the crops will not be good. And that, in let's call it a calm voice, because when we say Shema, including that passage, I don't think people tremble. They hear it, they say it, and it's like the third step. Do the mitzvot. If you do, you get reward. If you don't, you get punished. But then we needed more than that. So in Parshat Bechukotai, you have the sequence building up to the portion known as the Tochacha. You have it again after all of the mitzvot. Keep the mitzvot, listen to God, preserve his mitzvot, preserve his Torah. And if you do, all kind of good things will happen. And if you don't, bad things will happen. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks up a sledgehammer and smashes the lesson of the Tochacha across. Let me give you a perspective on this in numbers. 122 psukim. The first aliyah has 11 psukim. The second one has four. The third one has four. The fourth one has 10. The fifth one has 22. And the last one has eight. Shishi is the longest shishi in the whole Torah. 63 psukim. There are five sedras that each have fewer psukim than shishi of this Shabbat. The reason is because the Tochacha is so harsh, painful, that it was decided to keep it within one aliyah to start the aliyah with good stuff, to end on a good note, and sort of sandwich in this very harsh and painful reproach from only one person. Now, historically, a couple of hundred years ago, there was a minhag that developed not to call anybody to the Torah for the Tochacha. Nobody wanted that aliyah. It's very, very punishing. It talks about terrible things that I don't even want to mention. So that minhag was poo-pooed. They said, no, you can't not call someone to the Torah. So instead, it developed to call the person who gives out the aliyot. He gets that aliyah of the Tochacha. It varies from shul to shul, sometimes the rabbi, sometimes the gabbai, sometimes the Baal Kriya. But not a regular member of the shul gets it because he wouldn't want to say, hey, does he have something against me that he called me to the Torah for this terribly harsh aliyah? And the custom is that the Baal Kriya lowers his voice and basically rushes through. I mean, it's a huge portion. 63 psukim is more than half of the parsha in one aliyah. So it's very harsh. And my point is, we shouldn't have needed it. We should develop so that we won't need it. Not that it'll be removed from the Torah, but it won't have that devastating message to it, like, you didn't listen when I told you to do mitzvot. You didn't listen when I even told you the sachar for mitzvot. You didn't even listen when I quietly told you that there's punishment for not doing mitzvot. And this, boom. I'll finish with a joke. No, not a joke. First, I'll finish with the fact that Kitavo is purposely engineered not to be the Shabbat right before Rosh Hashanah. It's always the one before the last one of the year. Nitzavim, which also has reproach, is still much more positive sounding Sedra to take into Rosh Hashanah. And next week it's Nitzavim and Vayelech together. But Ki Tavo is kept away from it. And the old joke was that so many, nobody wanted that Aliyah, so they found a poor person and they hired him in this shul to get the Aliyah. So he would come, he would get paid, not on Shabbos, obviously, but he would get paid for taking that Aliyah. So one Shabbos of Ki Tavo, they're laning, and they're getting closer and closer and closer to Shishi, and the guy hasn't shown up yet. And finally, he runs in, huffing and puffing, and the gabbai says, "Where were you? We were waiting for you." He says, "You think I can make a living from one tochacha?" On that note, I wish you never to need the tochacha, to be motivated by Ahavat Hashem and Yirat Hashem in the best possible way, and to use the month of Elul to increase your quality as well as quantity of Shmirat Torah and Mitzvot, and do your share to not just do this personally for yourselves, but to include Klal Yisrael in your merit to benefit from your deeds. May we be Zocha. Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Thank
Can I
you.
share this with you?
Amen.
Yeah.
Shabbat shalom.
So I just got a cool phone call. I became a great grandmother. My daughter's daughter had a girl in the middle of the
I
night.
am a Valtsov.
Your daughter's
Yes.
daughter had a girl. Why am I not surprised?
Why?
Mazel tov.
Girl, 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 girl.
Well, I hope she gets my mother's name, but I wouldn't say anything.
It just
You know.
fits here, to have a daughter
What?
who has a daughter who has a daughter.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have sons there also, but this one fits here.
Yeah.
Bye.
I hope.